but he made no answer to that. Now when the court had thus far proceeded against the prisoners at the bar, then they put them over to the verdict of their jury, to whom they did apply themselves after this manner. Gentlemen of the jury, you have been here and have seen these men. You have heard their indictments, their pleas, and what the witnesses have testified against them. Now what remains is that you do forthwith withdraw yourself to some place where, without confusion, you may consider of what verdict, in a way of truth and righteousness, you ought to bring in for the king against them, and so bring it in accordingly. Then the jury, to wit, Mr. Belief, Mr. Trueheart, Mr. Upright, Mr. Hate Bad, Mr. Love God, Mr. See True, Mr. Heavenly Mind, Mr. Moderate, Mr. Thankful, Mr. Humble, Mr. Good Work, and Mr. Zeal for God, withdrew themselves in order to their work. Now when they were shut up by themselves, they fell to discourse among themselves in order to the drawing up of their verdict. And thus Mr. Belief, for he was the foreman, began. Gentlemen, quoth he, for the men, the prisoners at the bar, for my part I believe that they all deserve death. Very right, said Mr. Trueheart. I am wholly of your opinion. Oh, what a mercy it is, said Mr. Hate Bad, that such villains as these are apprehended. Aye, aye, said Mr. Love God, this is one of the joyfulest days that ever I saw in my life. Then said Mr. C. Truth, I know that if we judge them to death, our verdict shall stand before Shaddai himself. Nor do I at all question it, said Mr. Heavenly Mind. He said, moreover, when all such beasts as these are cast out of Mansoul, what a goodly town will it be then. Then said Mr. Moderate, it is not my manner to pass my judgment with rashness, but for these their crimes are so notorious, and the witness so palpable, that man must be willfully blind who saith the prisoners ought not to die. Blessed be God, said Mr. Thankful, that the traitors are in safe custody. And I join with you in this upon my bare knees, said Mr. Humble. I am glad also, said Mr. Good Work. Then said the warm man and true-hearted Mr. Zeal for God, cut them off. They have been the plague and have sought the destruction of Mansoul. Thus, therefore, being all agreed in their verdict, they came instantly into the court. Clerk, gentlemen of the jury, answer all to your names. Mr. Belief, 1. Mr. Trueheart, 2. Mr. Upright, 3. Mr. Hate Bad, 4. Mr. Love God, 5. Mr. See Truth, 6. Mr. Heavenly Mind, 7. Mr. Moderate, 8. Mr. Thankful, 9. Mr. Humble, 10. Mr. Good Work, 11. And Mr. Zeal for God, 12. Good men and true, stand together in your verdict. Are you all agreed? Jury. Yes, my lord. Clerk. Who shall speak for you? Jury. Our foreman. Clerk. You, the gentlemen of the jury, being impaneled for our lord the king, to serve here in a matter of life and death, have heard the trials of each of these men, the prisoners at the bar. What say you? Are they guilty of that and those crimes for which they stand here indicted, or are they not guilty? Foreman. Guilty, my lord. Clerk. Look to your prisoners, jailer. This was done in the morning, and in the afternoon they received the sentence of death according to the law. The jailer, therefore, having received such a charge, put them all in the inward prison to preserve them there till the day of execution, which was to be the next day in the morning. But now to see how it happened, one of the prisoners, Incredulity by name, in the interim betwixt the sentence and the time of execution, break prison and made his escape, and gets him away quite out of the town of Mansoul, and lay lurking in such places and holes as he might, until he should again have opportunity to do the town of Mansoul a mischief, for their thus handling of him as they did. Chapter 9. Now, when Mr. Trueman, the jailer, perceived that he had lost his prisoner, he was in a heavy taking, because that prisoner was, to speak on, the very worst of all the gang. Wherefore, first he goes and acquaints my Lord Mayor, Mr. Recorder, and my Lord Wilbywill with the matter, and to get of them an order to make search for him throughout the town of Mansell. So an order he got, and search was made, but no such man could now be found in all the town of Mansell. All that could be gathered was that he had lurked a while about the outside of the town, and that here and there one or other had a glimpse of him, as he did make his escape out of Mansell. One or two also did affirm that they saw him without the town, going apace quite over the plain. Now when he was quite gone, it was affirmed by one Mr. Did See that he ranged all over dry places, till he met with Diabolus his friend, and where should they meet one another but just upon Hellgate Hill. But oh, what a lamentable story did the old gentleman tell to Diabolus concerning what sad alteration Emmanuel had made in Mansell. As first, how Mansell had, after some delays, received a general pardon at the hands of Emmanuel, and that they had invited him into the town, and that they had given him the castle for his possession. He said, moreover, that they had called his soldiers into the town, coveted who should quarter the most of them. They also entertained him with the timbrel song and dance. But that, said incredulity, which is the sorest vexation to me is, that he hath pulled down, O Father, thy image, and set up his own, pulled down thy officers, and set up his own. Yea, and Wilbywill, that rebel, who, one would have thought, should never have turned from us, he is now in as great favor with Emmanuel as ever he was with thee. But besides all this, this Wilbywill has received a special commission from his master to search for, to apprehend, and to put to death all, and all manner of Diabolonians that he shall find in Mansell. Yea, and this Wilbywill has taken and committed to prison already 8 of my lord's most trusty friends in Mansell. Nay, further, my lord, with grief I speak it, they have all been arraigned, condemned, and I doubt before this, executed in Mansell. I told my lord of 8, and myself was the 9th, who should assuredly have drunk of the same cup, but that through craft I, as thou seest, have made mine escape from them. When Diabolus had heard this lamentable story, he yelled and snuffed up the wind like a dragon, and made the sky to look dark with its roaring. He also sware that he would try to be revenged on Mansell for this. So they, both he and his old friend Incredulity, concluded to enter into great consultation, how they might get the town of Mansell again. Now before this time, the day was come in which the prisoners in Mansell were to be executed. So they were brought to the cross, and that by Mansell, in most solemn manner. For the prince said that this should be done by the hand of the town of Mansell. "That I may see," said he, "the forwardness of my now redeemed Mansell to keep my word, and to do my commandments, and that I may bless Mansell in doing this deed. Proof of sincerity pleases me well. Let Mansell, therefore, first lay their hands upon these Diabolonians to destroy them." So the town of Mansell slew them, according to the word of their prince. But when the prisoners were brought to the cross to die, you can hardly believe what troublesome work Mansell had of it to put the Diabolonians to death. For the men, knowing that they must die, and every of them having implacable enmity in their hearts to Mansell, what did they but took courage at the cross, and there resisted the men of the town of Mansell? Wherefore the men of Mansell were forced to cry out for help to the captains and men of war. Now the great Shaddai had a secretary in town, and he was a great lover of the men of Mansell, and he was at the place of execution also. So he, hearing the men of Mansell cry out against the strugglings and unruliness of the prisoners, rose up from his place, and came and put his hands upon the hands of the men of Mansell. So they crucified the Diabolonians that had been appointed. and an offense to the town of Mansoul. Now when this good work was done, the prince came down to see, to visit, and to speak comfortably to the men of Mansoul, and to strengthen their hands in such work. And he said to them that, by this act of theirs, he had proved them, and found them to be lovers of his person, observers of his laws, and such as had also respect to his honor. He said, moreover, to show them that they by this should not be losers, nor their town weakened by the loss of them, that he would make them another captain, and that of one of themselves, and that this captain should be the ruler of 1,000, for the good and benefit of the now flourishing town of Mansoul. So he called one to him whose name was Waiting, and bid him, go quickly up to the castle gate and inquire there for one Mr. Experience, that waiteth upon that noble captain, the captain Credence, and bid him come hither to me. So the messenger that waited upon the good Prince Emmanuel went and said as he was commanded. Now the young gentleman was waiting to see the captain train and muster his men in the castle yard. Then said Mr. Waiting to him, Sir, the prince would that you should come down to his highness forthwith. So he brought him down to Emmanuel, and he came and made obeisance before him. Now the men of the town knew Mr. Experience well, for he was torn and bred in Mansoul, and they also knew him to be a man of conduct, of valor, and a person prudent in matters. He was also a comely person, well-spoken, and very successful in his undertakings. Wherefore the hearts of the townsmen were transported with joy, when they saw that the prince himself was so taken with Mr. Experience, that he would needs make him a captain over a band of men. So with one consent they bowed the knee before Emmanuel, and with a shout said, Let Emmanuel live forever. Then said the prince to the young gentleman, whose name was Mr. Experience, I have thought good to confer upon thee a place of trust and honor in this my town of Mansoul. Then the young man bowed his head and worshipped. It is, said Emmanuel, that thou shouldst be a captain over 1,000 men in my beloved town of Mansoul. Then said the captain, Let the king live. So the prince gave out orders forthwith to the king's secretary, that he should draw up for Mr. Experience a commission to make him a captain over 1,000 men. And let it be brought to me, said he, that I may set to my seal. So it was done as it was commanded. The commission was drawn up, brought to Emmanuel, and he set his seal thereto. Then, by the hand of Mr. Waiting, he sent it away to the captain. Now, so soon as the captain had received his commission, he sounded his trumpet for volunteers, and young men came to him apace. Yea, the greatest and chief men in the town sent their sons to be listed under his command. Thus Captain Experience came under command to Emmanuel, for the good of the town of Mansoul. He had for his lieutenant one Mr. Skillful, and for his cornet one Mr. Memory. His under-officers I need not name. His colors were the white colors for the town of Mansoul, and his scutcheon was the dead lion and dead bear. So the prince returned to his royal palace again. Now when he was returned thither, the elders of the town of Mansoul, to wit, the Lord Mayor, the Recorder, and the Lord Will-be-Will, went to congratulate him, and in special way to thank him for his love, care, and the tender compassion which he showed to his ever-obliged town of Mansoul. So after a while and some sweet communion between them, the townsmen have solemnly ended their ceremony, returned to their place again. Emmanuel also at this time appointed them a day wherein he would renew their charter, yea, wherein he would renew and enlarge it, mending several faults therein, that Mansoul's yoke might be yet more easy. And this he did without any desire of theirs, even of his own frankness and noble mind. So when he had sent for and seen their old one, he laid it by and said, Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. He said, moreover, The town of Mansoul shall have another, a better, a new one, more steady and firm by far. An epitome hereof take as follows. Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, and a great lover of the town of Mansoul. I do in the name of my Father, and of mine own clemency, give, grant, and bequeath to my beloved town of Mansoul, first, free, full, and everlasting forgiveness of all wrongs, injuries, and offenses done by them against my Father, me, their neighbor, or themselves. Second, I do give them the holy law and my testament, with all that therein is contained, for their everlasting comfort and consolation. Third, I do also give them a portion of the selfsame grace and goodness that dwells in my Father's heart and mine. Fourth, I do give, grant, and bestow upon them freely the world and what is therein for their good, and they shall have that power over them, and shall stand with the honor of my Father, my glory, and their comfort. Yea, I grant them the benefits of life and death, and of things present and things to come. This privilege no other city, town, or corporation shall have, but my Mansoul only. Fifth, I do give and grant them leave and free access to me in my palace at all seasons, to my palace above or below, there to make known their wants to me, and I give them, moreover, a promise that I will hear and redress all their grievances. Sixth, I do give, grant to, and invest the town of Mansoul with full power and authority to seek out, take, enslave, and destroy all and all manner of Diabolonians that at any time, from whensoever, shall be found straggling in or about the town of Mansoul. Seventh, I do further grant to my beloved town of Mansoul that they shall have authority not to suffer any foreigner or stranger or their seed to be free in and of the blessed town of Mansoul, nor to share in the excellent privileges thereof, but that all the grants, privileges, and immunities that I bestow upon the famous town of Mansoul shall be for those, the old natives, and true inhabitants thereof, to them, I say, and to their right seed after them. But all Diabolonians, of what sort, birth, country, or kingdom soever, shall be debarred a share therein. So when the town of Mansoul had received at the hand of Emmanuel their gracious charter, which in itself is infinitely more large than by this lean epitome is set before you, they carried it to audience, that is, to the marketplace, and there Mr. Recorder read it in the presence of all the people. This being done, it was had back to the castle gates, and there fairly engraven upon the doors thereof, and laid in letters of gold, to the end that the town of Mansoul, with all the people thereof, might have it always in their view, or might go where they might see what a blessed freedom their prince had bestowed upon them, that their joy might be increased in themselves, and their love renewed to their great and good Emmanuel. But what joy, what comfort, what consolation, think you, did now possess the hearts of the men of Mansoul? The bells rung, the minstrels played, the people danced, the captains shouted, the colors waved in the wind, and the silver trumpets sounded. And the Diabolonians now were glad to hide their heads, for they looked like them that had been long dead. When this was over, the prince sent again for the elders of the town of Mansoul, and communed with them about a ministry that he intended to establish among them. Such a ministry that might open unto them, and that might instruct them in the things that did concern their present and future state. For, said he, you of yourselves, unless you have teachers and guides, will not be able to know, and, if not to know, to be sure not to do the will of my Father. At this news, when the elders of Mansoul brought it to the people, the whole town came running together. For it pleased them well, as whatever the prince now did pleased the people, and all with one consent implored his majesty that he would forthwith establish such a ministry among them as might teach them both law and judgment, statute and commandment.